second hour of Spingola Speaks. This is Deanna Spingola. My guests today are Veronica Clark and Hans Krampe. Hans, so you want to make a couple of concluding remarks, and then we'll allow Veronica to tell us some very important things also?
Well, you know, I got most of what I wanted to say across. Obviously, I wasn't really prepared, so...
Obviously, you did a fabulous job.
Anyway, let's give Veronica a chance.
Yeah, you know, Hans, I see all of this information coming straight from your heart, and I thought I was very touched and moved by the things that you said.
Well, you know, it needs to be said, and it can't be repeated often enough because not enough people know about it.
That's true. That is very true.
Yeah.
Okay, Veronica, take it away.
Okay, with that, let's just start with where we left off last time. J.K. Rowling, I dug up her quote finally, and this kind of ties right in because what we do know still about the Germans is their Übermensch nonsense, master race syndrome, Aryans are going to take over the world, yada yada. Here's what she said. Like Hitler, see? I think it's the case that the biggest bully takes their own defects and they put them on someone else, and they try to destroy them. And that's what he, Voldemort, does. That was very conscious. I wanted to create a villain where you could understand the workings of his mind, not just have a 2D baddie dressed up in black. And I wanted to explore that and see where that came from. That is something she told the press. So what she is actually saying is that, see, like Hitler, who was part Jewish, a half-blood or a mudblood, he projected his Jewishness onto the Jews and therefore destroyed them as the bully, just like Voldemort does in the movie, because he too is a half-blood or a mudblood. And of course, we had debunked Hitler's Jewishness last week, like so many others before us.
Right.
So it's pure nonsense. And accordingly, that quote begins chapter 19 in the Union Jackal, and the name of the chapter is Absurda Hitlera. So kind of
so
in line
creative.
With her own little spells she has in her movie and in her books. So
I thought
I'd start with that.
You have to send me the spelling of this. I want to make it part of my vocabulary.
I will. Absolutely. And it has to have an exclamation mark.
Yeah.
And what I'll do is, if we get to it, I'll touch on Macau briefly at the end and his interesting little bit about the two Zionists that allegedly funded Hitler, because that kind of goes along with the same thing. If Hitler wasn't Jewish, well, then he was funded by Jews. Somehow
yes.
We have to get Jews into his narrative. I don't know why everyone insists on that, but that's how it is. So the main topic we're going to talk about today is this book called The Jewish Messiah. The only reason I bought this book is because I read one very pertinent quote from it that really struck me. And the book is absolutely disgusting, horrible. I mean, I'm not trying to be mean to the author, but it has no plot. It's probably the worst book I've ever come across slash read in my entire life. So I don't recommend people read it, or if they do, want to put themselves through it. It's basically like a really twisted and horrible American Beauty, which that itself I thought was horrible, the movie American Beauty. But it has these pertinent quotes and this insight into kind of the Jewish mentality and psychology that I think is important. And it's written by a Jew. His name is Arnon Grunberg. So we're going to go ahead and talk about some of the main points in this book.
All righty. We'll be back to do that after a word from our sponsors.
Gas, bloating, indigestion, constipation that comes and goes. If you're not having normal bowel movements every day, you can suffer from a buildup of toxins that cause upset stomach, constipation, excess gas, or intestinal discomfort. Plus, you could be holding up to 4.5 pounds of fecal waste if you're going to the bathroom only once a day. Even more unwanted weight if you're going less often. But now there's ColonFlow. Non-prescription ColonFlow is scientifically formulated with key ingredients to help restore normal bowel function. And you're eligible to try it free for 30 days. We're looking for participants to receive a free 30-day trial, so call immediately. All-natural ColonFlow works gently with your body to eliminate toxic waste and maintain your regularity. ColonFlow is being released to the general public, and your area has been selected to try it right now for free. Call immediately to find out how to receive your free 30-day trial. Phone lines are open now.
Call 888-446-3902. That's 888-446-3902.
Berkey Purification Systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Are Veronica Clark and Hans Krompa. And one of our listeners, Mike, sent an email reminding me that there are 16 Holocaust museums in the United States. Okay, Veronica.
We can add the SPLC to that.
Yes.
We might as well. Okay, so this book, basically, let me just go over some of the important points in it. First of all, the author addresses kind of the traits of self-hating Jews and Jewish traits themselves, and everything he says basically supports what quote-unquote anti-Semites say about Jews themselves. So you're kind of wondering, okay, obviously Jews are aware of this, very aware, in fact, too aware. They can use it kind of as a weapon against anti-Jewish persons or organizations. And that is real clear on page 22 in this book, what those different traits and whatnot are. The central theme is apparently suffering and pain. And it's just, like I said, it's just not a very interesting or enlightening book in any way, shape, or form. The main character's name is Xavier Radek, and he's basically Hitler, but Jewish. And there's a reason why the author, like, makes him homosexual. He kind of makes him pursue art, all these things that allude to Hitler. And interestingly enough, he, for some reason, gets inspired to join like a Zionist camp, becomes a Zionist, the most fervent Zionist like in Jewish history. And basically just, I don't know, it's supposed to be like the twisted, perverted, idiotic version of Hitler, only it's a Jewish person that does all this. And he is the quote-unquote Messiah of the Jews. He becomes Ha Radek in the end, so he changes his name. And I don't know if that name, R-A-D-E-K, with the Ha, H-A hyphen in front of it, I don't know if that has any significance for Jewish people. I didn't research the name or anything, but more than likely it was chosen for a reason. But anyway, there's allusions to Hitler all throughout, and he translates Mein Kampf, interestingly enough, calls it the forbidden book, quote-unquote, into Yiddish. And this is supposed to be the book that comforts the Jews. And he becomes the, quote-unquote, comforter of the Jews, the ultimate. His father was, interestingly enough, an SS man. So, or his grandfather, I'm sorry. So his grandfather was in the SS and allegedly, like, tortured Jews and whatever. The author makes the point that Jews need Lebensraum, too. And so they're entitled to their state, in this author's opinion. Just some of the things that struck me as just kind of typically Jewish were, there's a scene where Xavier is kind of touching his mother, and his father says, "Stop touching your mother. That's unhealthy." that's weird. Okay, but it's also an allusion to the sort of incestual relationship between Hitler and his mother that all these Jewish historians claim was there but was not. Apparently, a son cannot love his mother intensively without being sick in the head, which is insane. It's just stupid. So you kind of get that twisted mentality there, and again, an allusion to Hitler. When he dials this certain phone number, it's 666, the sign of the beast, as we all know. But Xavier thinks the phone number is beautiful and says that to himself. And I thought, you know, that's an interesting insight coming from the Jewish author.
Yes.
Aramel's aunt, and Aramel is the homosexual, he becomes the homosexual lover of Xavier. And I think that, again, there's an allusion to Hitler's homosexuality that we always have to hear about from historians like Lothar Machten, which has been disproven. But still, they continue with the same lies and myths about Hitler and these allusions throughout. But Aramel's aunt was molested by his father. And his father is this fake rabbi who runs a matrimonial agency. He runs around like embezzling money. He's this terrible criminal, kind of your typical Jewish criminal, gangster, and an Orthodox Jew. Which makes Xavier angry because he's going, look, I'm trying to become the comforter of the Jews, and you guys go around acting like this. How am I supposed to get sympathy for you? So you're seeing the anti-Semitism of the Jewish author coming through against his own characters. It's just very strange. Xavier's mother, who was basically a National Socialist, she said the Jews were that way and there was nothing that could be done about it. Here was Xavier trying to help Jews to ease their pain, and all they could do was act like typical Jews. Another interesting point made by the author, he says women are to rape as Jews are to pogroms. Just as women ask to be raped, Jews ask for pogroms. I thought, what a twisted, bizarre.
Wow. What a comparison. You know,
deeply offensive. And supposedly book is supposed to be, it's supposed to be breaking all the taboos and going where it shouldn't go. And it's just, it's just nonsense. Basically, the fake rabbi father, RML's father, is autistic. He never passed the exams to become a rabbi. So he's this imposter and just pretends to be a rabbi to make money. He considers Xavier, who is assimilated, he's an assimilated Jew, he considers that genocide. And so he's like, well, you're not a real Jew because you're assimilated, and that's equivalent to genocide. Jews need to be marked out as different, blah, blah, blah. And Xavier is also uncircumcised. So they go through this whole ridiculous ritual where he goes and gets circumcised. The rabbi doing the circumcision makes a terrible mistake, and I'm not even going to go into what happens. But it's just stupid. So you see that big time, like, genital fixation coming through in this book. the things that, you know, of course, your typical quote-unquote anti-Semite accuses Jews of doing and the kind of cultural decay that they promote, it's all in this book. So basically, the book verifies everything these people say about Jews and Jewish culture and the deprivation therein. When Xavier asks how often Aramel, because he's from an Orthodox family, talks about the Holocaust, he says, well, you know, twice a week, three times in winter. So this author, since he's Jewish, is allowed to make fun of the Holocaust, and he does so repeatedly throughout the book. I thought that was interesting. And, of course, he can also talk about Hitler and Mein Kampf as though it's this cute little thing.
Right. But isn't that what they
always
do?
With impunity.
I mean, exactly. They can make fun of Christianity. They can make fun of anything that they want. But if anybody, you know, points out, you know, the brutal slaughter of animals, the ritual slaughter of animals or something else, then, oh, my goodness, we're all anti-Semitic.
Of course, they can make fun of the Holocaust and Hitler, too, but non-Jews cannot.
Right.
That is clearly what I got from this book, because he even makes fun of the Jewish Messiah idea. It's very, very critical to just Judaism as a religion. The whole thing is a mockery of it, and we'll get to the very end of it and what exactly the Messiah ends up being. But basically, in the book, they can't call Hitler Hitler. They call him you-know-who. And I thought, you know, that's kind of strange because they capitalize it. And it's not wholly unlike J.K. Rowling's he who must not be named.
Yes.
Which is also all capitalized. So I'm seeing a direct similarity there between these two stories.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder if they know each other, or maybe they were both tutored by the same mentor or something.
It could be. Or perhaps they just look at each other's stuff and get inspired. Hard to say. He has an interesting opening paragraph in this one chapter because he says voting is a ritual that changes nothing. So the author is extremely critical of the democratic voting process and basically suggests that such a process is idiotic, illusory. So you're kind of getting the feeling like, okay, how many Jews really support quote-unquote democracy? Pretty much they undermine it in the name of minority group power.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually something Lawrence Dennis himself wrote about, was the inevitable future of all democracies. They become nothing but minority gimme groups all competing against one another, which eventually destroys the entire society.
Profound. Yes. How true.
Very profound. There's profound things in here throughout. Xavier eventually proclaims, "I am a Jew," which worries his parents. His dad blames the wife's father, the SS man. But what he says is kind of interesting. He says, "with that big fanatical nose of his." Now, I don't know what he means by that. Does he mean that the SS grandfather was really Jewish and he was somehow in the SS? And that's the illusion that the author uses? Or is he just saying, just like you non-Jews usually say Jews have big noses, that he was just retorting with that? I'm not really sure what the author intends with that, but I just thought it was interesting because it is a Jewish illusion, fanatical
right.
nose of his.
Right. A lot of innuendos in there and things you can take in more than one way.
Absolutely. The only reason Xavier goes with a female, and her name is Bettina, and she's Swedish or something. He's in Sweden or Switzerland or something like that, but is because he doesn't want to hurt his parents. He wants to try and comfort everybody. So he pretends to be straight, goes with this girl, never loves her, whatever. It's thrown in there for whatever reason. But here's another interesting thing. Her name is Bettina, and there's a forgery of Eva Braun's diaries out there by an Alan Bartlett, and he says that Hitler wrote a play called Bettina.
Oh,
like, is this
funny.
Just coincidental?
All righty, we'll be back in 3 minutes with our guests, Veronica and Hans. Stay tuned.
Rocky purification systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkey's are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-4121. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-4121. Again, 1-888-246-4121.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous-based metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, and metal expansion and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate on itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphite. It also offers the tremendous benefit of being non-toxic. It is used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Our guests are Veronica Clark and Hans Krampe. So pick it up where you left off, Veronica.
So Bettina, and interestingly enough, these fraudulent memoirs of Ava Brown, they're disgusting, perverted, hideous language, vulgarity, same kind of themes interwoven throughout, and it reads much like this book. So again, are these people influencing each other? This fraudulent diary is put out. It's not actually written by Alan Bartlett. It has an introduction by him, but it was written by Louis Trenker, and Trenker was Jewish.
Well, that tells you everything you want to know.
Oh, you know, I remember Louis Trenker had a TV show in Germany.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. What a
That's the one. He was involved with actors and stuff like that. Yeah, he claimed Ava Brown came to him with her diary. Why she would come to him?
Yeah.
You know, whatever. Let's see. Okay, so here's another joking about the Holocaust. The father tells Xavier that his grandfather just had to watch over Jews under you-know-who and occasionally bash them over the head to relieve his excess energy. If those concentration camps had just been fitness centers, the Holocaust never would have happened. If people would just talk more, there'd be less war. Jews should have talked to the Germans man-to-man instead of shouting straight away. That's what Xavier's father tells him while they're in this sauna. So again, you get a lot of we can joke about the Holocaust, but no one else can. So apparently it's not a taboo for Jews. At the same time, how many people joke about a true horror atrocity like that when it really happened?
Right.
I don't hear too many.
If it really happened,
yeah,
they wouldn't be making light of it.
I kind of wonder about that. Yeah. And it should seem striking to most people, because I don't hear too many Germans or Ukrainians or Indians joking about the atrocities that happened to them and the Holodomors that occurred in their countries.
Right.
It reminds me of the case of this elderly woman in Berlin who never spoke about being raped by the Red Army.
Mm-hmm.
And she never was able to have a normal relationship with a man after that. And just before she died, she wrote about it.
Mm-hmm.
It proves your point, because she never uttered a word about what happened to her before that.
I think that was called A Woman in Berlin, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they made a film out of it.
Yeah.
Exactly. People don't joke about these things if they can even talk about it. So that should be revealing to people. The author uses the term goyim on page 57. You know, that's not a big deal if Jews use hate speech against non-Jews. But if we say anything that is akin to goyim, that's unacceptable. Basically, RML starts cheating on Xavier, and he says, you know, it's okay for, you know, Jewish people to go to prostitution houses. My father does it all the time. He's a rabbi. Just, you know, the strange prostitution theme is woven throughout, and Xavier is shocked. He can't believe that RML would do this when he's one of the chosen people, quote unquote. The author uses that exact phrase. But then the RML's father believes that rabbis can go to prostitutes. He knows all the prostitutes by name, blah, 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 because the Kabbalah blesses that as long as it increases the rabbi's joy and does not decrease the joy of others. So basically, as long as a rabbi hides it from his wife and children and others who could be hurt by it, it's perfectly fine for a rabbi to go to prostitutes as much as he wants. And this one happens to go to transsexual masseurs who are all Asian. Everyone who is this kind of hideous character is non-white. So that's another theme. There's a lot of covert racism all throughout this book. And what's interesting is the author has to mention everyone's race. The Egyptian, the Negro, the, you know, the Asian, or I think he's specifically like Indo-Asian transsexual. It's very weird. It's like, do we really need to know their race? So I suspect that's his racism coming through in a subtle way.
Exactly. Bob just sent me an email. He said, Deanna, here's a link with an Orthodox Jew comparing Harry Potter books to Orthodoxy. I'll send you that link after the program.
Ah,
and another tidbit, a Nathan Thornburg wrote an article entitled "You Didn't Know Harry Potter Was Jewish," and you can read about that at another link. So I will send you those links.
Okay, the actor for sure, and also the main, almost all the main actors, Malfoy and his father Draco, are Jewish actors, and Severus Snape is Jewish, of course. Alan Rickman. Was that deliberate? I don't know. But as far as the actors are concerned, there's quite a few in prominent positions in that movie.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. In the book, the Jewish God is no God at all. He's just like a flawed person. In fact, he's so absurd, Yahweh is, he's like an amusement park ride. Just enjoy life and listen to your instincts above all. You don't need to be ruled by morals, no dogma, none of that. Forget it. No ethics. No, just follow your instincts and have fun.
Wow.
And I'm thinking that's a great message to be sending people.
Sure.
So that's in here.
All righty. We do have to cut to a break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Because you can handle the truth. What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Modern medicine has given doctors miraculous powers. Using 21st century imaging technology, surgeons can peer inside the human body in extraordinary detail. Unfortunately for patients, there's virtually no transparency in the billing process. Too often, patients agree to surgical procedures without understanding the full cost of treatment. But all that is about to change. The Surgery Center of Oklahoma is revolutionizing medicine with affordable surgical procedures and completely transparent pricing. Their board-certified surgeons perform over 7,000 surgeries per year at a fraction of the cost charged by traditional providers. The Surgery Center of Oklahoma is perfect for individuals without insurance and people with high deductible plans. If you have a health savings account or self-funded plan, you should definitely consider our services. We even welcome patients from Canada and around the world. Check out our website for all-inclusive pricing at surgerycenterok.com. That's surgerycenterok.com. Or give us a call at 405-475-0678.
All righty, welcome back. Our guests are Veronica Clark and Hans Krompe. And Brenda sent me an email, and she says at the bottom of her email, your guests today are wonderful. Because of what the Jews, Israelites, have done to innocent people, including children, in modern history, most things I'm hearing are making me upset, extremely sad, and making my stomach churn. But we must be willing to hear and know the truth and true history, which you're both bringing to us. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. I'll just continue. Mr. Schwartz, the man who performs the circumcision on Xavier, he's an ex-communist from the World War II era, so there's your Jewish communist illusion, which they always deny. And he becomes known by the Committee of Vigilant Citizens, who become angered at what he does. They consider him this child molester because of what happens. They call him Pedophile Lenin. So then that becomes his name through the rest of the book. And basically, the rabbi father, RML's rabbi father, gets all crazy because he thinks the committee is this anti-Semitic mini pogrom, that they're all going to come after the Jews. And so there's a bunch of idiotic stuff associated with that. It's the whole kind of anti-Semite is going to come get me persecution complex woven throughout from that point on, because this committee gets started. Interestingly enough, the mother, who was the ex-National Socialist and is a German, she becomes the head of this committee. So it's kind of the idea that once again, the Nazis have come back to assume this anti-Semitic pogrom against these Jews. Really and truly, he simply imagines the whole thing because his son goes missing. RML goes missing. He got beat up by some other kids, and it wasn't the anti-Semite that came and snuck him away after all. But the author kind of jokes and goes, you know, maybe it was the PLO that came and got him. So, of course, they had to work the Palestinian thing in there. He eventually brings that into the story, right, and weaves it in. And that's kind of where the Egyptian comes into play. The Egyptian buys weapons from the IDF, sells them to Hamas so that the IDF soldiers can buy more pot. That's what the author
argues.
That's
interesting.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting, because it is well known that the IDF is riddled with drug addiction, but it's mostly ecstasy, not marijuana per se. The mother has a persecution complex, and what's interesting is, like, her mother was actually gang raped, I believe, to death by Russian soldiers. So that's kind of the first thing she saw in her life. Her husband rejected her after she became pregnant and had Xavier, because her body was now that of a woman who had given birth, and it just wasn't the same, you know, the excess skin and whatnot. So he's actually repulsed by her body, no longer loves her and rejects her. The father goes and becomes a homosexual. Okay, it's very strange. And the mother just hates men, hates her son, has this massive persecution complex, because the only thing she's ever seen with men, including her own boyfriend, is that they reject her and they all become homosexual. Her boyfriend, her husband, and her son all become homosexual. So I thought, is this a Jewish penchant? Or is this the author's proclivity?
Well, it is very interesting. I mean, if you look
sure
at
is.
Some popular personalities in government and you evaluate some of their personal lives, you think, oh, yeah, yeah, I can see where that person is.
Exactly.
Certain ethnicity.
Right, right. And homosexuality is just rife. It's one of the themes. It's just rife throughout this thing.
Wow.
Yeah, and here's something.
And it's promoting it, basically. It's promoting it, as okay.
He is promoting it, absolutely. And what's interesting is RML, who is Orthodox Jewish, rejects the idea of Zionism. They just want their Messiah. They don't care about Zionism or the Zionist state. Neither does his mother. So it's kind of strange that the assimilated Jew is the one who wants the Jewish state and embraces Zionism, and the Orthodox Jews reject Zionism and just want the Messiah. That's kind of another theme woven throughout this. Whether or not that really occurs, it could be true. It seems like a lot of Jews outside of Israel and the ones who went there to just lead it and take advantage of it are more fanatical about it than the Jews who are supposed to be true Zionists. They all want to leave.
Right.
So that's kind of interesting.
And there were people who were in the Zionist movement early on and then left it and became basically terrorists and members of Ergun and stuff.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The Jews are not just leaving, simply leaving Israel. They actually flock back into Germany and have proclaimed that Germany is the best country for Jews to live in right now.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to establish an enclave in the area of the city of Würzburg. I think it's Würzburg. I forgot now what province that is. They want the whole area to become a Jewish enclave.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay.
Amazing.
All right, so the mother, the wife of this fake rabbi, who has autism, by the way, which also seems to be a genetic proclivity in the Jewish population, she calls all of her kids and all these Jewish people around her dirty Jews, quote unquote. And I guess this was prompted by her daughter saying the Messiah of the Jews was a pelican, because for some reason the kids they start talking about how the Messiah is going to be this bird. Okay, and that has significance, and we'll get to that in just a minute. sexual assault is woven throughout this too, and it's always the females that get sexually assaulted. The younger sister of RML is sexually assaulted by these boys at school, and they say, if you let us do this to you, we'll protect you. So there's a real sick anti-woman. Just the language and everything about this book is so anti-woman. I had to literally skip over several parts of it. Couldn't even read it. It's just that detestable. So that's really a heavy theme, probably one of the main themes of the entire book. I'd call it central.
Well, you know, when you think about the women's movement in the 60s and who was actually behind that, that's very compatible with what you're saying. It's very anti-woman.
Yes, yes. And there's a reason why Jewish women who really do have problems with their Orthodox Jewish men led that movement. The question is, did other women need that quote-unquote liberation? They were taking their own cultural problems and projecting them and forcing them onto other peoples that did not necessarily have the same experience with their males. So that's a huge problem there. And I see that in this book.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting is the Arabs and the Jews in this book accept money as the only thing that loves them and doesn't discriminate. Everything else discriminates against Arabs and Jews. So now we're starting to see the author become like he's putting Jews and Arabs in the same basket so that they can be partners and allies. And so now we're getting to the end. I'm just going to cut to the end because I want to get to some other stuff. But basically, Xavier becomes Haradek, the prime minister of Israel. He, you know, lies, bribes, cheats, batters his way to power in Israel, becomes an all-powerful dictator. And what he does is he sides with Hamas, that becomes his ally, and decides with, conjointly with Hamas and other countries, all of which are non-white, to nuke several Western countries, the United States, the place of his birth, I believe it was Switzerland, Europe, Germany, all these places all get nuked in the end. So the bird, so to speak, are the nuclear weapons flying at these different places at the will, at the behest of the Jews and Arabs who are now getting their final revenge against the West. Now, if that's not the most profound message of this book, I don't know what is.
That is very interesting.
It's very interesting, and it may be where things are headed. Maybe the Jews are going to start siding with the Arabs, seeing how things are changing politically, demographically, etc., and they're going to turn on the ones who fed them originally, which would be like the United States, Britain. Britain also gets bombed in the book. They all get nuked. He nukes his own family in Switzerland.
Wow. Well, you know, that's they've done that too before.
Right.
With the pogroms, you know, let's have a pogrom and kill a bunch of our fellow religionists, and then we'll scream for that we're victims so we can get some money.
Right. So the West is their proclaimed enemy. And in the book, the author says the Jews' only comfort is destruction.
Wow.
Yeah. So with that, let me just read some of these really important quotes. This is the quote why I bought this book. The biggest mistake fascism made was to turn against the Israelite. If fascism had absorbed the Israelite, if fascism had said to the Israelite, come, let us join forces, then fascism would still be a vital movement. It would be the most important movement in Europe. Look at the Palestinians. The Israelite is a fascist by nature. It's in his blood. It flows through his veins.
Hmm.
So that's the first quote. Here's the second one. This is the mother speaking. I'm not saying that I approve of absolutely everything he did, she said. You know who, that's who I'm referring to. He made huge mistakes, unforgivable ones. There's no denying that. But if you know who had finished what he started, however much I disagreed with it, however much I still disagree with it, but just if, imagine that, just as an experiment in thought, then the Middle East wouldn't be a powder keg today. Then that powder keg would not be on Europe's doorstep. If the civilized world had let you-know-who finish what he started back then, wouldn't we be better off today?
Wow.
Only a Jewish person could write that in a book and get away with it. Tell you that,
yes, right? Yes.
And here's the next one. This one's really profound. A prominent Irish intellectual wrote in The Guardian, this is after Ha Radek is nuked the West. So this Irish intellectual wrote in The Guardian that, in the light of events in recent years, perhaps even of recent decades, Hitler's war against the Jews had to be seen as a preemptive war. All war is abhorrent, he wrote, as was that of the Nazis. But had they won their preemptive war, we would not have to fear for our lives today. And that is something for all peace-loving people to consider.
Yeah,
so basically, the Jews destroy the world from Israel. And this Irish guy, this, you know, projected journalist, if you will, in the future, says, if we had all just supported Hitler and let him destroy those Jews, we wouldn't have had this problem. The world wouldn't be ending now. It's just crazy.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Right.
Well, I won't say this, but I do get some visuals from one of our listeners by the name of David. And I think it's Skip. He goes by Skip.
Uh-huh.
And basically in the visuals, he said, oh, do I dare say this? It's too bad that Hitler did not really have gas chambers, and that's a terrible thing
right.
to say. But that is what is on the visual. I'm not saying that, but that's what's
right.
on the visual.
And it's the same exact principle, though. That's essentially what this Jewish author is saying. If
yes.
Hitler had been able to, quote unquote, gas the Jews, we would not have the Jewish problem today in the state of Israel and the powder keg in Europe and the Middle East. And it's okay for him to say that. Now, he wrote this as a fiction book, but the question is, does this Jewish man really believe this?
Right.
I'd say there's much more in his head.
What is the title of the book again?
It's called The Jewish Messiah, and it literally has a pelican on the front in the shape of, like, the German eagle.
Wow.
Right. And here's one more quote. The more nuclear weapons Ha Radek sold to various countries, the more rumors began flying concerning a Jewish conspiracy. There were people, and not the least among them, often people who had published interesting articles about Schopenhauer, who we know Hitler read, who said international Judaism must distance itself from the policies of Ha Radek. Otherwise, it will be impossible for us to distinguish between Ha Radek's politics and international Judaism. We would regret that terribly, but we have no choice. So right here, he's telling you it isn't a conspiracy. I mean, he's basically saying, since the country is supporting this guy, and this is their messiah, who is then releasing his own kind of messiah, the nuclear weapons, he's saying that it is a conspiracy, that the author himself believes it, sort of. So it's not
right.
really a conspiracy. It's something that Jews are, you know, apparently really doing, in his opinion.
Wow.
So that's interesting, too. And that's pretty much all I have to say on that book. So,
well, it sounds like a very interesting book. It's called The Jewish Messiah.
It is interesting. I mean, there's some profound things in there. If people want to churn through it, I warned them, though. I warned them that's vulgar and just no plot. No plot whatsoever.
Yeah. Well, you can always just go to the library and get it. And
yeah, get a used one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't spend any money on it.
Exactly.
So you have an ability that I don't have, that you can actually read through it. I would never be able to do that. You know, if I read what the tendency of it is, I would throw it in the corner and ignore it.
Right. I never have a hard time reading a book, even a really dry, just pure history book for information. But this was so bad, I had to force myself. So, I mean, we have a little time for Macau if we want to touch on that.
Yeah, we've got a break in about a minute, but yeah, give us some your thoughts about Macau and his latest rant.
Yeah, I'm actually going to include this whole thing as a tale of two bankers in the Union Jackal. But basically, Irving says that in Churchill's memoirs, he mentions this letter from Pruning, Heinrich Pruning, who was the one who lost his seat, his position, if you will, as chancellor to Hitler, that he would reveal to Churchill these two prominent leaders who were Zionists, in fact, one of them, in Germany, who had backed Hitler since October 1928. And they were also general managers of the two largest Berlin banks, both Jews, one a prominent Zionist. So now we're going to basically look at who those could have been.
Okay. And you set you in your little document that you sent to me, it's a PDF mm-hmm. file. It's very interesting, and you're talking about David Irving and mm-hmm. what he wrote. And then if you go to the source that Macau uses, mm-hmm. you see that, gosh, there's really no information here, and yet he implies that, oh, yes, this is the document that you
exactly.
can find this information in. But then
and I
no
wonder if even
there.
Irving knows. I don't even think Irving knows the names because he doesn't write them. He just says Churchill mentioned it. But we don't actually have the names of these two people, so I question whether they really existed.
Exactly.
I think Bluning was just lying.
Sure. All righty, we have a 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsor, so stay tuned.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-4121. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-4121. Again, 1-888-246-4121.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous-based metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, and metal expansion and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate on itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphite. It also offers the tremendous benefit of being non-toxic. It is used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
We are back. Our guests are Veronica Clark and Hans Krumpe. They're both dear, delightful people. I'm just so delighted to have you on the program.
I'm delighted to be here.
You're a dear, too.
You're delightful, too, Deanna.
Oh, thank you. But I just, yeah.
It's always fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, Bruning. I think he lied because I went through. And, I mean, I hadn't edited that before I sent it to you, so I caught a couple little things. But I've went through every Zionist leader, Chaim Weizmann, Otto Warburg, the botanist, everybody. There is no one. Who could it have been? We went through the Schroeders, the banker, the Schroeders, Jacob Schiff, who died in 1920, so he couldn't have been it. The only one I came up with was Emil Georg von Strauss. And in spite of his name, Strauss, which sounds like Strauss, he wasn't Jewish. So he was actually a very strong supporter of Hitler and National Socialism. And the Jews tried to ruin him when they found out that he had those ties.
Interesting.
I have to ask you if you are aware of that Helmut Kohl, reunification chancellor.
Oh, yes.
He was Jewish.
Yes, he was. Wasn't he in the Hitler Youth or something?
Pardon me?
Wasn't he in the Hitler Youth at some point?
That I don't know. But Angela Merkel, the current chancellor, is also Jewish.
Really?
I didn't know about Merkel.
Her mother was Jewish.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, we do know that that country has been occupied since World War II.
By Jews.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You know?
Huh.
I mean, we are being expected to believe that the Americans are dictating policy to the German puppet regime. But in fact, it's Jews dictating it, because the Americans do what the Jews tell them.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Germans do what the Jews tell them. The Jews just use the American administration in Germany as their mouthpiece. And so the Germans, even critical revisionists who don't know that Angela Merkel is Jewish and that Kohl was Jewish, they believe that the Americans are dictating policy, but it isn't. It's Jews.
Mm-hmm. So her father couldn't have been Adolf Hitler then. I see that one on the internet now. Angela Merkel's father was really
good. I was going to bring that up, but I thought it was, is that ridiculous?
Oh,
somebody's debunked it, but it's like, really? Come on, guys.
I have a Veronica, I have a question to you about this allegedly second book of Hitler's. Do you believe there actually was a second book that he was supposed to have written?
I do not. And first of all, he certainly wouldn't have read it. And I'm sure you know that as well. He dictated to Rudolf Hess.
Yeah.
So that was the first thing. When was all the time for this? He certainly didn't sit down and pen it, but no one has actually seen the actual manuscript, which was allegedly authenticated by a certain Mr. Berg. Now, I don't know if he was German or Jewish, but nobody knows much about him. Who was this guy? How did he come across this document, etc., and how did Gerhard Weinberg find it?
Did he even exist?
Folks, yeah. We've run out of time. We've run out of time. Thank you so much for being on the program today. It's been wonderful.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Bye-bye, Veronica. Bye-bye, Hans.
Bye-bye,
Thank you.
Bye-bye, Diana. Bye-bye, Veronica.
Bye. Bye-bye, listeners. Talk to you tomorrow.